Nice to see you. And it was interesting, that word actually, about come, because I was thinking about the Christmas story. Is it okay to do a Christmas sermon?
Yeah.
It's not too early.
No.
Is that okay? You've all finished your Christmas shopping, haven't you?
No.
Oh. I was thinking about people who came to Jesus. Everyone came to Jesus, didn't they? Did you notice that? That in Jesus' life, you know, when he was a man ministering, thousands and thousands of people would come to him. They'd seek him out, they'd find him, they'd travel to get to him, to be healed, to be forgiven, to have their lives transformed. People have been coming to Jesus all the time. And it's interesting, it began immediately. As soon as Jesus was born, people were arriving. People were coming. Oh, I've come to Jesus. I've come to bow down. I've come to worship. I've come to experience him. It's fantastic, isn't it? And just that sense that you can do the same thing today is dead exciting, isn't it? That he's still here, that you can come to him. And I was thinking about different people who came into his presence. And I was just thinking the other day, yesterday actually, about the distance, the different distances. I thought about the three wise men who came a massive distance, but made it, kept going, kept going, kept going, following, following, and made it to Jesus. And you might feel that you're at a big distance away from God this morning. A huge distance, you know, you can feel that. And maybe you are. Some people say to me, I feel like I'm miles away from God. And I usually say, that's because you're miles away from God. Or I feel like there's a huge barrier between me and God. And I say, that's because there's a huge barrier between you and God. It's called sin. And that creates a distance between us and God. It creates a huge mountain of a barrier between us and God. But the great thing is that can be removed. It doesn't matter how far away you are from God. It doesn't matter if you know nothing about Jesus, nothing about God, have no church background or God in your life. It doesn't matter. You can make it. You can do the distance. You can get to God. These three wise men, we don't know exactly how far they came from. We know they came from the east. Could have been the eastern side of Russia, could have been China, could have been Japan. I mean, how far east can you think? Might have been Red Indians from America that got boats. No, maybe not. Maybe not that far east. But east. A long way. We know that the journey or the adventure took 2 years. That's a lot of travel. We know that clearly because Herod interviewed them, said, when did the star appear? Later, Herod Antipas, who was this maniac of a tyrant, very insecure king. He'd had his own son murdered rather than pass the throne on to him, this guy. So you can imagine when these three wise men turn up and say, oh, there's a new king being born, and he's freaking out and insecure. And well, let me know when this all began. It was 2 years before. That's some travel, isn't it? 2 years, but they got to Jesus. It's worth it, isn't it? It took me about 2 years to come to Jesus, actually. I became a Christian when I was about 17, nearly 4 years ago now. And I was a punk rocker in Middlesbrough, not interested in God. What a journey, 2 year journey, total confusion, like a paper trail. I'd been brought up in the church as a Catholic, so I knew something of the Bible and of Jesus, believed in Jesus, but didn't understand how to make it work and be a Christian and get forgiveness and find God. I just couldn't. And well, there was a couple of lads of us seeking God. Total confusion. I remember standing in a pub one night. If this isn't confusion, I don't know what is. With a pink mohair jumper on, leather trousers, Jesus sandals with bare feet, a Hamlet cigar in one hand, and a pint of orange in the other because we'd given up drinking. And with a cross around my neck that should have been hanging on a wall. And this was before the days when it was fashionable. And having a conversation and saying, you know, the problem with the church is it's filled with religious weirdos. That's confusion. And over those 2 years, I remember God, it was like a paper trail for me. God connected us to people who knew him a little bit better and a little bit more, knew a little bit more and a little bit more. We just kept going, we kept going, we kept going. Hey, do you know what? It was worth it. It was worth it to keep going. If you're on that paper trail this morning, you're not quite sure how it all works, how it all fits, keep going. Make sure that you're sure that you've got there. I am sure. I found God when I was 17, 18. I came to Jesus and got there. I bowed down and worshipped. Got a new life that I've been enjoying ever since. Do the distance. Whatever the cost. Whatever the... Doesn't matter if it takes 2 years. Doesn't matter if it takes 10. As long as you're moving. Move. The next step. Take the next step. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't assume I'm all right. I may have found the way. Not necessarily. Make sure. Make sure. John Wesley was a holy man. He wasn't a Christian. He was a missionary. He wasn't a Christian. He said, I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh God, who will convert me? Make sure you're born again. Make sure you're a Christian. You've actually come to Jesus, not just to church. Oh, I believe in God, so what? So does the devil. But he's not a Christian. Make sure that you do the distance and get there. Jesus, I've arrived. Those guys knew when they arrived. They bowed down, they worshipped, they were satisfied, they went home full. Make sure you go home full, won't you? Do the distance, get there, no matter what the distance. And the wonderful thing is that distance can be really fast, you know. The amazing thing is you can walk in church miles away from God, miles away, and walk out with Jesus in half an hour. What happened? You could do the distance. That mountain, that barrier can be removed. Christmas is a time where there's a lot of rubbish, isn't there? Extra rubbish. We've got 9 kids. Can you imagine how much rubbish we've had over the years? It can be a major problem for us, I tell you. Before the days of wheelie bins, one year I counted 37 black bin bags. Can anyone beat that? And it was an embarrassment to me. I used to pile them outside around this lamppost, like Rosemary topping with the lamppost coming up the top. And the neighbours used to have these nice little neat piles down the street, and I was like, poof. So sometimes, under cover of darkness, I used to get some of our bin bags, run along the road and dump it on theirs. Confession time. And you know, they probably saw me, you know, oh, there's that nice Christian man who lives at number 16, probably delivering some presents. Merry Christmas! Like the Grinch. And if the bin men don't come, it's a real problem, isn't it? Imagine if the bin men never came. We travel to some nations where the bin men never come. Human beings create rubbish. And if no one takes it away, you've got to live in it. It's serious. Who's going to remove your rubbish? The 37 bin bags of all the rubbish of your sin and mine. Who's going to deal with our sin? Oh, I'll deal with it myself. I'll bury it in my own back garden. Some people do. You can if you want. But it does go toxic, you know. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's still on your property. Isn't it wonderful when the bin men come? You lie in bed, hear that lovely sound. You look out the curtains and oh, it's gone. The rubbish is gone. That's what happens when you arrive at Jesus. The mountain is removed in a moment. The rubbish, it's gone. Where's it gone? All those years of sin and it's gone. Jesus takes it all away. That's what happens when you come to Jesus. It's worth doing the distance for that. It's worth it for forgiveness itself. But there's a lot more than forgiveness as well. Then there was the shepherds. You know, they didn't come a very great distance. It was just around the corner for them. The angels appeared to them. They were watching the sheep at night. They said, something awesome has happened round the corner. Good news, great joy. You can have great joy. You just go around the corner. And maybe for you it's that. You know, just round the corner for you. You're not at a great distance. I don't know how you got into this building this morning. Maybe you don't live at a great distance. Some Christians brought you. It's not that far away. You're in a country where Jesus, he's not that far away. Church is never that far away. In some countries, in many countries, what you're hearing this morning, you can be shot for. You can be killed for. Not allowed to go to church. But you're all right here. It's just around the corner. Would you like great joy? good news in your life, great joy. It's just around the corner, just here. Just keep coming, turning up here. You'll find Jesus, you'll meet Jesus' people, you'll have incredible joy. The joy that we've been singing about this morning. The joy of salvation. The shepherds might have been comfortable. Oh, we're all right. We've got the sheep all settled asleep and we're all right. Thanks for telling us, though. Yeah, we'll get round to go and have a look at that one day. But they didn't do that. Millions of people in the UK do that. Oh, I'm all right, thanks. Oh, I'm quite comfortable, thanks. There's something good on telly tonight. It takes effort, doesn't it? To move yourself, to get in the car, to come here. It's easier not to, isn't it? It's easier to keep in your dressing gown on a Sunday morning and read the papers and not get yourself and all the kids up and ready and get to church. But those who do it for a reason. Jesus is here. We meet Jesus in a different way than you would just sat at home. It's worth the journey. It's just around the corner, actually, to experience great joy. Great joy. A new kind of joy that you get with only with Jesus Christ. Some people don't want to make the move. They don't want to move. They're too comfortable. It's easier. I'm all right. Do you know that's the most dangerous thing you'll ever say? Would you like to know about Jesus? I'm all right, thanks. Would you like to come to church? Ah, we're all right. You're all right. You're all right. The Bible says you're all wrong. And I'm all wrong. And we have to be made right by Jesus Christ. Well, you're not right. Well, we're going to stand before God one day. You're going to say that. I've been all right. I'm all right. We're not all right. We're sinners. We need forgiveness. We need help. We need God. And this is what Jesus has come for. Salvation freely given to us. Freely given for us. Come and receive it. Come to your Argos collection point and collect what has been purchased for you. Oh, I'm all right. One day you'll stand before God. You won't be saying that. Only if you're saying that he's dressed me. I'm a Christmas tree. I've got nothing to offer. Lord, you dress me. You make me beautiful. You cover me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus was wrapped in little rags. We sang about it this morning. I have nothing to offer but filthy rags. The Bible says all of our good deeds are like filthy rags. Filthy, filthy, full of ourselves we are. Full of pride, full of self. The best stuff we do is all about us. Hope someone noticed, hope someone saw. We're full of ourselves. It's filthy. There's something better. Jesus gives us white garments of purity to receive. We'd like them this morning for free. He takes our rags off us, doesn't he? When Jesus was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, little rags. He was wrapped in those rags all his life for us. Wrapped in the rags of just being a human being. He was God. On the cross, covered in our rags. So that we could be absolutely covered in his perfect righteousness. Don't be lazy. Don't let laziness cost you your soul. It's just around the corner. Move. Get there. Do it. Act. Of all the books you've ever read in your life, of all the novels of rubbish that we wade through, make sure the Bible's one, won't you? Of all the courses you do in your life, cookery, Spanish, ballroom dancing. Make sure you do the Alpha course as well, won't you? Make sure you give some time, you make some effort to find God. Solomon, David, giving advice to his son Solomon, said to him, if you seek him, he will be found by you. That was his parting advice to his son. What better advice can you give your children? Hey, if you seek him, he will be found by you. I can't seek him for you. I can't give you my relationship, son. But you can have your own. If you seek him, he will be found by you. You seek him, you find him. You come to Jesus yourself. And do it while you have the opportunity. I was speaking to Eric Wilson the other night, the vicar of St. Barnabas in Middlesbrough, just asking him how he became a Christian. He said he was in college, in university in London, really ambitious, determined to earn a lot of money. He was quite bright and had the opportunity to really earn a lot of money and was going to go for it and do it. And then his best friend, who he'd grown up with, just got engaged and then married and then diagnosed with a brain tumour, given 2 months to live, gone. And it made him think, wow, your whole life can end like in 2 months. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to God right now. I'm going now. And it made him think. So he started going to church. Heard this preacher, good preacher, Dick Lucas preaching. And it made sense to him. And he thought, do you know Dick Lucas? And he said to him, and he gave him a booklet about Jesus. Eric said he took it home, read this book about Jesus. It made sense. And he got to the end. And there was a little prayer of commitment. A prayer of commitment. And Eric said, I read the word commitment and I thought, sounds like marriage to me. No thanks. Sounds a bit heavy to me. I'm not into commitment. And so he went to put the book back on the shelf, and as he did, he stopped. It was one of those moments in his life. And he had this thought, if I put this book down, I'll never do it. If I don't pray this prayer now, I'll never do it. Pulled the book back, opened it up, prayed the prayer of commitment. I think you're going to get a chance this morning to do the same. Prayed the prayer of commitment. His life was absolutely transformed. It's interesting, isn't it? Do it while you have the child. Do it later, not do it now. Do it. Or don't do it. But do it! And lastly, there's this guy who's the saddest of all, because Jesus actually came to his door, the innkeeper. You don't get any closer than that, do you? Some people have travelled 2 years, some people go around the corner. This guy, he comes to his house, and yet, no room. It was interesting, that prophetic word this morning. Some people are full. Yes, some people are full of the wrong things. Our lives are full, too full. Too full for God. Sorry, don't have time. Oh, my life's so full. I'll get around to it one day. I'm too full. No room for Jesus. I feel sorry for that innkeeper, do you? I mean, he's gone down in history as the bloke who absolutely blew it. God came to his house. Oh, sorry, we're busy here. We're too full. No room in the inn. Or some of those other innkeepers. No room in the inn, no room in the inn. Later, when Jesus became incredibly famous in the nation, and everyone was seeking him out. Can you imagine this guy? If someone had said to him, oh, you know, this Jesus, who they're saying is the Messiah, and thousands of people are seeking him out and following him. You know him? So he was that little baby that came to our house, you know, and knocked on the door. No! It wasn't. Oh, yeah, it was him. Well, if only I'd known, I would have made some. Right now, today, you're here. God's here. You're here. Jesus is here. He's at the door. You're at the door. I mean, you can't get any closer than this. One step and you're in the kingdom. One prayer and you're forgiven. The train tracks of your life alter like that. You're going to hell. You're lost, away from God. That is our destiny. Jesus says, two roads in life. One's going to destruction. One's going to eternity. There's no eternal life. There's no other tracks. You're on one or the other. When you come to Christ, I feel the same. Irrelevant. Your destiny is just altered. You're on different tracks. Going somewhere totally, totally, totally different. And, you know, it can be under your nose, can't it? Under your nose, but you can miss it. That's the worst thing, isn't it? Those people who were so close to Jesus and yet they didn't come to him. So close. He stayed in our stable. Other people had come from the Far East to get to him and worship. He's in your house. He's not. Listen, you've got to. You're here. You have this opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't stand before God one day and say, why didn't I? Wow, I was so close. Jesus came to his own people and was completely rejected. And when he died, just before he died, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, you've missed the time of your visitation. I've come and you've missed it. You've missed it. You know, I was Santa once for this place, and I got to keep the stuff overnight. And it was pretty good stuff. So I thought, I'll use it on the kids, see if they believe in Santa. And there's, you know, there's one was five and the other one was three. It was our Ruth and Joseph, it was a while ago. And I said to Margaret, I'll just try it on the kids, see if they know, see if they believe in Santa. She said, well, it's obvious it's you. I said, well, I know, but we'll just see, you know. So she went upstairs and said, someone's coming to see you. I'm like, who? She said, wait and see. And I'd thrown this gear on quick, ran upstairs, opened the door, said, ho, ho, ho. And they were like, fear at first. You know, like, there's a big Santa in our room, you know. And then I thought, I better stay at a distance, because obviously me. And I said, have you? And I came a little bit closer and like looking like that. I said, have you been a good little girl? She said, yes. I thought, liar. And have you been a good little boy? And he couldn't move his head. He was in shock. And he was just like that. And I said, and I was like beginning to laugh. I thought, I better get out of here. But I was beginning to lose it. I said, okay, well, make sure you are. And I went out the door. I was laughing and Margaret was laughing. I pulled the gear off and I went back in the room and said, kids, did someone come see you? They were bouncing on the bed, bouncing with excitement. I said, Dad, come here. You won't believe this. I said, what? I said, Santa wears exactly the same trainers as you. Under your nose. You can't see it. Oh, if we'd known it was you, Dad. If we'd known it was you, Jesus. Jesus is here. Mike, do you want to take it over?